Good morning. It's good to be with you on this Thursday morning as we continue in our time together in Joel. Today we're in Joel chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the middle section of Joel 2. Joel 2 has three sections. First, this continued explanation of what's happening, and then the human response, which is repentance. You know, we talked yesterday about how mercy comes, return to the Lord. He is gracious and merciful. So today we're going to see in verse 18 through 27, we're going to see God's response through Joel to their people's repentance and what's happening. So let's start with Joel 2, verse 18. Then the Lord became jealous for his land, and he had pity on his people. In response to his people, the Lord said, I am sending you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a mockery among the nations. I will remove the northern army from you. I will drive it into a parched and desolate land, its front into the eastern sea, its rear into the western sea. And its stench and foul will rise up. Surely he has done great things. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures, the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig yields. The fig tree and the vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain to your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, in the early and later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I'll repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which has sinned against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And all my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. And all my people shall never be put to shame. So we see God's response, which is grace. We see verse 18 says he becomes jealous for his land and has pity on his people. The land is such an interesting concept in the Old Testament. It's such an interesting concept in the covenant. I've shared with you before that the land was one of the, there were three primary ways in the Old Testament that the people knew they were God's people: the land, the temple, and the covenant. Those were the three things. So he promised Abraham a land, and so that's the promised land. He promised he'd be present with them, and that's the temple. And then he promised through this covenant was signified or shown through the sign of the covenant, which was circumcision. So we see these things here, and we see that God says, I'm jealous for the land. The land was symbolic in many ways. One of my favorite quotes is by St. Augustine. And Augustine says, our souls are eternally restless until they find their rest in thee. When you read in Scripture, it talks of the land. And I think it's specifically in Hebrews. It talks of the land being synonymous with rest or Sabbath. And you rest or you have Sabbath because you're in God's presence. So the land was in many ways for both the people, and then we see here for God, synonymous with his presence. And so it says the Lord became jealous for his land, and he had pity upon his people. The land was where the people experienced God. And that remains true today. If you go to the Holy Land and stand upon some of these places, you're like, my goodness, it's quite powerful. So he has pity on his people, and he says, I'm gonna repay, I'm gonna respond. Verse 20 says, I will remove the northern army from you and drive it into a parched and desolate land, its front to the eastern sea. If you look in, so this notion of, I'll just reading on this, this notion of this army here. In chapter 1, we see an army of locusts, but chapter 2 makes it appear as though there's an army of people. And so you're like, well, which army is it talking about here? It appears from reading. Some of the reading I've done is that it's talking about the locust here specifically. And we see that in context, too, because it says in verse 2, it says, verse 25, I'll repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. So we see the notion here that the army being referenced here in this that the Lord will repay them for is the army of the locusts, which are bringing destruction. God will restore and God will heal. Not fear, O soil, be glad and rejoice. The Lord's done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, children of Zion, rejoice. He has given you early rain for your vindication, poured down in your abundant rain. The threshing floor shall be full of grain. And then 25, I will repay you for the years the swarming locust has eaten. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. You shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God. There is no other. I've always liked 25. I'll repay you for the years the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. I truly believe there's nothing in life that God can't redeem or restore. I really believe that. God's redemption and God's restoration doesn't mean that the past or the hurt or the pain doesn't mean that it didn't happen. Because of course it did. And if we've been through tragedy or trauma or pain, it's not to invalidate that and not to say that it didn't matter, not to say that it wasn't important, because of course it was. If we've been through tragedy or pain or trauma, of course those things leave a scar. But what I like here is that it's God's going to repay us for those years. God can bring healing to the broken places. God can restore what sin has taken. I love what Jesus says, that he's come to destroy the works of the devil. It says in John 10:10, the thief comes to rob and kill and destroy. The thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus comes to undo the works of evil. And the Lord here says, I will repay you for the years the swarming locusts have eaten. I'm going to restore. I talked about it yesterday, that the story is beautiful. It starts in creation. It starts in God's glory in the garden. That's where the story starts. And that God is going to restore. It's so easy, y'all. It's so easy to look at this world sometimes and just feel hopeless. It's easy to want to give up on the world, to give up on people, to give up on a lot of things. It's so easy. It's easy to give up and to withdraw and to just withdraw from it all. And I understand that. But I think we see in Scripture this beautiful concept that God's going to restore things. That there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, that God is going to redeem and restore all things. All things. He's going to make all things beautiful. He is. He's going to redeem and restore me and you. He's going to redeem and restore creation. He's going to redeem and restore the cosmos. And that he will pay us back for the years of the swarming locust. So right now, if you're in a place where you feel like the swarming locust is is winning, you feel like the locust is doing its best to win the ball game, and you feel like you want to give up, I get it. I understand. Sometimes when you're in the midst of the famine, or you're in the midst of the attack, or you're in the midst of the trauma, or the midst of the tragedy, it's easy to say it's never going to get better. That it's never going to change, that there's never going to be restoration or hope. It's easy to think that and to believe that. It really is. But the Lord's promised that none of this is wasted. None of this is wasted. That was a it's a word I needed to hear today as I think through life. And hopefully a word you needed to hear. That the Lord will repay for the years the locust has eaten. So trust in the Lord. He's at work. He hasn't forget. He is not blind and he is not deaf. And as his word said, his strong arm is still mighty to save. So trust in him and know that he will always be there. that he will never leave nor forsake us, and that he will repay us for the years the locust has eaten. So have hope in Jesus today, because hey, we got hope in him, y'all. We got something beautiful to hope in. So have a great day. Tomorrow we're going to pick up with the end of chapter 2. So we'll pick up with verse 28 tomorrow. Have a great day.